today will not be too difficult to do. Guys, today, let me start off by reading you a section out of C.S. Lewis's book called The Silver Chair. I love this section, so just sit back and let me read you a story. There's a couple of characters here, and you may or may not know that Aslan, the lion, represents Jesus. And there is this young girl named Jill in the silver chair who is searching, and she's wanting to find. So she's traveling all over the place, and she comes to this spot. So let me read what happens. The wood was so still it was not difficult to decide where the sound was coming from. It grew clearer every moment, and sooner than she expected, she came to an open glade and saw the stream, bright as glass, running across the turf a stone's throw away from her. But although the sight of the water made her feel 10 times thirstier than before, she didn't rush forward and drink. She stood as still as if she'd been turned into stone, with her mouth wide open. And she heard a very good reason. Just on this side of the stream lay the lion. It lay with its head raised and its two forepaws out in front of it, like the lions in Trafalgar Square. She knew at once that it had seen her, for its eyes looked straight into hers for a moment and then turned away, as if it knew her quite well and didn't think much of her. "If I run away, it'll be after me in a moment," thought Jill, "and if I go on, I shall run straight into its mouth." Anyway, she couldn't have moved if she had tried, and she couldn't take her eyes off of the lion. How long this lasted, she could not be sure. It seemed like hours. And the thirst became so bad that she almost felt she would not mind being eaten by the lion if only she could be sure of getting a mouthful of water first. "If you're thirsty, you may drink." They were the first words she had heard since Scrub had spoken to her on the edge of the cliff. For a second, she stared here and there, wondering who had spoken. Then the voice said again, "If you are thirsty, thank you. If you are thirsty, come and drink." And of course, she remembered what Scrub had said about animals talking in that other world and realized it was a lion speaking. Anyway, she had seen its lips move this time, and the voice was not like a man's. It was deeper, wilder, and stronger, a sort of heavy, golden voice. It did not make her any less frightened than she had been before, but it made her frightened in rather a different way. "Are you not thirsty?" said the lion. "I'm dying of thirst," said Jill. "Then drink," said the lion. "Would you mind going away while I do?" she said. The lion answered this only by a look and a very low growl. And as Jill gazed at its motionless bulk, she realized that she might as well have asked the whole mountain to move aside for her convenience. The delicious rippling of the stream was driving her nearly frantic. "Will you promise not to do anything to me if I come?" said Jill. "I make no promise," said the lion. Jill was so thirsty now that without noticing it, she had come a step nearer. "Do you eat girls?" she said. "I have swallowed up girls and boys, women and men, kings and emperors, cities and realms," said the lion. It didn't say this as if it were boasting, nor as if it were sorry. nor as if it were angry. It just said it. "I daren't come and drink," said Jill. "Then you will die of thirst," said the lion. "Oh dear," said Jill, coming another step nearer. "I suppose I must go and look for another stream then." "There is no other stream," said the lion. Drawing nearer to God can be an overwhelming proposal. We know that He's our only source of life. One of the things that made a difference in my life is when I read the end of John, the sixth chapter. And guys, at the end of the day, here is the answer that you have here's the question you have to answer. You know, Jesus had fed 5,000 in John 6, and there were a bunch of people who wanted to make Him a king. I mean, He would be a great king, right? Because that way He would be able to supply all of their food that they needed with 5 loaves and 2 fish. He could do that. Jesus could heal them. And so, man, what a great physical king. We could actually take over the world, Israel thought. And Jesus said, "I'm not that kind of king. That's not who I am." He said, here's what I will do. I will give you food that will make you never hungry again. I will give you drink that will never make you thirsty again. And he said, "Great, give us this stuff." And Jesus said, "No, you don't get it. I am the bread of life. I am the water of life. That's who I am." And they didn't like that, just like a lot of us don't like it. They said, "Hey, there's got to be another way." And so they all started leaving. And Jesus turned to his 12 and he said, "Are you going to leave me too?" And Peter said this. Peter said, "My words, my thoughts." He said, "To whom shall we go? Only you have the words of eternal life." So guys, at the end of the day, where else are you going to go but Jesus? I mean, look, in your life, guys, and you're young, okay? And many of you are young and impetuous. Some of you are young and stupid. I'll not say which. You just keep barreling ahead as fast as you can go. And someday, somehow, I guarantee you, you know, that you're gonna hit a wall. Mine happened. You know, my wall happened especially when I was 18 years of age. Maybe I was just younger and lived a whole bunch more than maybe you have. But, I mean, man, that wall came. And I said, "Look, I've tried all this stuff and none of this stuff helps me. None of this stuff gives me peace." You know, I tried friends. I tried relationships. I tried alcohol. I tried drugs. I tried sex. I tried all of that. And at the end of the day, I was still not satisfied. I was still thirsty. And so God says, "Approach me." And I said, "I'm afraid. I'm really afraid." Today, we're talking about, well, and by the way, often we're too flippant in our approach to God. And yet often we're too afraid to approach Him in true faith. I enjoy being around you guys who are starting to discover your spiritual muscle and are trying to figure out how to use it. That is incredible. In John 10, verses 1 through 10, you know, Jesus said, "My sheep know my voice." So how do you know the voice of God? How do you know that when you're really at the bottom, when you're searching, how do you know the voice of God? How do you know? Well, so first of all, what does it mean to listen to God? What does it mean to come near to listen to God? Let me mention a couple of things, and then we'll get into the spiritual discipline of meditation that hardly any of us ever do. And by the way, most of these spiritual disciplines, guys, we don't do in the church or anywhere else. We don't do them. And so we're going to practice some things today, some things that may be quite bizarre to you, but we're just going to practice them. And if you don't like them, that's fine. However, you know, at least we'll open our eyes and minds to a little bit more. But guys, you know, first of all, what does it mean to listen to God? It means that we stop listening to the world. You guys get that? Predominantly, we listen to the world more than anybody else. James 4, 4 through 5. How do we exchange listening to God for listening to the world? Man, listen, we are hardened by the media. We are bombarded. I know that. You know that. Guys, I mean, we constantly see all kinds of hedonism. That's pursuit of pleasure. We see materialism. And so our focus has changed. Paul says in Romans 12, don't be conformed to this world any longer. And yet, what are we? We dress like the world. We talk like the world. We act like the world. We do the same stuff as the world. We do. So how do we conform our minds to God rather than the world? You know, we're desensitized by exposure and repetition. We're told repeatedly that our value is, as we talked about in DCC 101, is in beauty, intelligence, money, and ability. And so that value system comes in. You know, it means you stop listening to the world. The world will tell you that you're a success, you're a failure, you are smart, you're stupid, you're beautiful, you're ugly, that you're the world will tell you, you know, that you're a cheerleader, that you're average, that you are the most phenomenal athlete, you're the worst. I mean, the world will tell you all that stuff. So stop listening to the world. Two, it means you stop listening to yourself. Yes. Stop listening to yourself. Because, guys, so many of us, we look in the mirror and we say things to ourselves, you know, like, oh, dude, you are so good. Hey, or you can get away with it. Or you are so ugly. Or, man, nobody's ever going to want you. Or, man, you're not going to make it. We start telling ourselves stuff like that. We don't listen to the world. We don't listen to ourselves. It means you stop talking. I was driving one day with my daughter, you know, when she was, I guess, about 9 or 10 years old, and we're driving along, and she's like, ah, blah, blah, blah. She's telling me all about her day, blah, 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 blah. And man, my heart just filled with love for my daughter, and I was like, Amy, and she's like, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, Amy, and she's like, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, Amy! She's like, what? I said, I love you. Yeah, okay. Blah, 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 blah. You know, it means we stop talking. We've done before here in chapel, we've done concerts of prayer. I don't know if you've ever experienced that. Maybe, you know, we haven't done one of those in a long time. For some new students, it just kind of blows their minds. And maybe next semester, maybe we'll try one of those. But it's pretty awesome. But we give different topics that we pray about. And we pray about them, you know, with the person sitting next to you. You know, it's like, okay, you two pray about them. And then we pray in groups about certain things. And it might be, man, it's so awesome when we have men pray for women that they will be godly women. And I'll tell you, the most beautiful is when you hear women pray over the men that they will be men of God, that they will rise up, that they will be strong, godly men. And to hear all the voices, you know, all over. It's a concert of prayer. I mean, when you hear these voices going up to God. Then we pray as a whole group, and we pray out loud. I mean, it's not like we pray silently. We pray out loud, and you hear all these voices, and it's just a beautiful sound. And then we say, hey, listen, now we want you to be quiet and listen to what God may be telling you. And some people have never done that, and they're like, what? That is meditation. That's meditation. How do we listen to God? You know, we listen through prayer. Psalm 46, listen to this. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. There's a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see the works of the Lord, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes war cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I'm God. Guys, you are a social group. Millennials are social. What you think about mostly is what other people think about you. You think about what you need to communicate to other people. With electronics, you are constantly communicating. My daughter and her best friend, our neighbor daughter, neighbor across the street, we were sitting in someone's house and they were texting, and I said, who are you texting to? They were texting to each other, sitting right next to each other. And I'm like, why don't you just turn over, lean over, and tell them something? No, Dad, you know, it's just real private. I said, are you kidding? It's out there for everybody to see. You know, you guys are social. You're social. And so it's very difficult. Listen to me, please. It's very difficult for you guys. It's difficult for me to get off by ourselves. And really, we're not by ourselves. We're with God. And why do we not get off by ourselves with God? One, because we're social beings. Two, because maybe we've never done it before. Three is because we're intimidated by being in the presence of God, and God might expose us, and God will. You know, in the story, Jill did not want to approach, even though she was so thirsty. And she's like, Jesus, are you dangerous? And Jesus says, oh, yes, I am. So we're like, okay, I'm not going to approach. I'd rather stay with my friends. I'd rather stay thirsty. Meditation, guys, sometimes is seen of as a freaky kind of thing. You know, it's like, oh, dude, that's I don't know. Like, you know, that's like those you know, those Krishna guys, they sit around, you know, or yoga. You know, it seems like that kind of thing. No, meditation is not a bad thing. In fact, in Psalm 119, verse 14, what David says is, I meditate on your precepts. I meditate on your word. And so what we're doing, guys, is meditation is an idea of conscientiously focusing on God. Now, you guys know I have ADD, attention deficit disorder. Man, I should have brought my journal. I forgot to bring my journal. I was out at this men's retreat one time, and we were supposed to go out, and we were supposed to spend time in prayer, and we were supposed to focus on God. And I wrote in my journal, you know, it was called ADD Christians, and it's like, pray. What was that noise over there? No, focus, pray. And it's like, why are those guys walking over there? You know, they're not supposed to be walking around. No, pray. And then I was like, hey, those guys have coffee. Where'd they get the coffee? And then I'm like, no, focus on God. I'm writing in my journal, focus on God. And I was like, man, that bird was really loud over there. I wonder what kind of bird that was. Focus. You know, I'm writing big in my journal, focus. Hey. Those guys are walking back. They must have already finished. I can't believe that. You know, they're breaking the rules. At the end of my journal, I wrote, it's nice spending time with you today, God. You know, have you ever started praying and your mind wanders all over the place? Yeah. Well, here's some things that have helped. So let's put up here meditation. And we're going to try... Guys, this may seem bizarre because you've never tried it before, but we're going to try some things that the ancient fathers, actually they were called the desert fathers. These were Christians who went out into the desert, literally went out in the desert and spent time out in the desert just focusing on God. And they tried these different meditation methods that I'd like to I'd like for us to practice or try. And, you know, you may think they're bizarre, and we'll debrief a little bit about it each time. And then we'll try, at the end, we're going to try what's called a Lectio Divina, spending time in the Word, but maybe in a different way, okay? So here's what I want you to do. We're going to try a couple of forms of meditation. So this is one of those times, you notice I didn't say, hey, guys in the back, come on. In fact, if you want to spread out a little bit, you're welcome to do that. Here's what I want you to do, is I want you to get comfortable. Don't think, forget about the person next to you, okay? Can we do that just for a few minutes? You know, it's like, no, man, I got to keep my image. Okay, just forget about them. And what we're going to try to do is we're going to try to focus on God. I mean, we're going to try to focus our thoughts on God. Okay, just for a few minutes. Can we try that? Is that okay? You guys okay? I mean, if you want to go and sit on the floor, you can go sit on the floor. However you want to get comfortable, because we're going to try a couple of these different methods, and then we're going to go from there. Okay? So here's the first one that we're going to try. Okay? I want you to get comfortable. However you need to do that, put your books down, whatever you need to do, get comfortable. Don't put your feet on other people. Okay, get comfortable. Not fall asleep. Try not to fall asleep. Okay. Now, just for here's what I want you to do. Just for a couple of seconds. Okay. I want you to, and I know you always hate this, but there's method to the madness. Okay. I want you to close your eyes. Okay. Just close your eyes. That way, you're not looking at other people. Just close your eyes. Okay. Get relaxed. Close your eyes. Don't have to worry about what other people are doing, because they're doing the same thing. Just relax. Close your eyes. Okay, I want you to practice some breathing exercises. What I want you to do is breathe in through your nose and just lightly exhale through your mouth. Just try that two or three times. Breathe in through your nose and just quietly exhale through your mouth. I want you to concentrate on your breathing. About three or four times. Okay, now we want to try a focus. Here's what I want you to do. Breathe in, and when you breathe in, just think, or maybe even whisper this phrase. When you breathe in through your nose, just think this phrase, O Lord God, and when you exhale through your mouth, just think, have mercy on me. Breathe in, O Lord God. Breathe out, have mercy on me. Breathe in through your nose, O Lord God. Breathe out, have mercy on me. Do that just a few times. Focus your mind on God. Breathe in through your nose, O Lord God, exhale, have mercy on me. Do that just a few times. Whenever your mind starts to wander, go back to those. Breathe in through your nose, O Lord God. Exhale, have mercy on me. A couple more times. Okay, open your eyes. Now, what did you think? Was that bizarre? Was that weird? Or did that help you focus? Or was that just too bizarre? Or did you fall asleep? Anybody, what did you think? Give me some feedback. You could fall asleep pretty easy. You know, and that's not a bad thing. You know, we don't have to feel guilty, but you're falling asleep thinking of what? God. Yeah. And, you know, be still and know that I'm God. You know, absolutely. And so, you know, even at night, if your mind is all, man, you're all jumbled up with all these kinds of things, meditation helps. Because now you start focusing on not all those issues, not all those problems, not on me. What are you focusing in on? God. Okay, anybody else? Thought it was weird? How many of you thought it was very bizarre? You thought it was bizarre, no? How many of you liked that? Okay, why did you like that? Lizzie, why did you like that? Okay. Meditation can be a very peaceful thing. Okay. Why did you think that, Tom? Yeah. Yeah. Anybody else? Why'd you like it? Yeah. Yeah, you know, and how many of your minds started to wander, and then you go, oh, wait. Oh, Lord God. Yeah. See, this is a good exercise for me to bring back focus. Okay, hey, when I was doing it up here just a couple of seconds ago, my mind's like, oh, I wonder if that, no. Oh, Lord God, have mercy on me. It's a way to focus. That's what meditation does. All right, let's try another desert father exercise. Okay, once again, once you close your eyes, just a couple of times, just relax yourself. Breathe in through your nose. Exhale through your mouth. Breathe through your nose. And leave each other alone. Okay, with your eyes closed, I want to give you an image. Okay? That image, the Holy Spirit, the Greek word for Holy Spirit is pneuma, which is wind. Okay, with your eyes closed, what I'd like for you to picture in this room, just picture in this room, the Spirit of God filling this place. The Spirit of God is filling this place, pneuma, wind. Try to picture that, whatever that looks like in your mind, the Holy Spirit filling this place. You got that? And here's what I'd like for you to do. Okay, this time, when you breathe in, I want you to picture yourself breathing in the Holy Spirit, and when you exhale, you're exhaling self. Whatever stuff that's in your life, it's all about you, that's sin, those things that would hold you back from the Holy Spirit. Breathe in through your nose, breathe in the Spirit, picture yourself breathing in the Spirit, and when you exhale, picture yourself exhaling those things of life. Maybe a relationship, maybe sin, maybe worries. Okay, just a few times, breathe in through your nose, breathe in the Holy Spirit, exhale through your mouth, exhale self, get self out. Focus on breathing in the Spirit, exhaling self. Do that a few times. Just focus on breathing in the Spirit, exhaling self. Don't worry about other people. Just breathe in the Spirit. Exhale self. Do that just a few times. If your mind starts to wander, start thinking about other people, other stuff. Focus again. Breathe in the Spirit through your nose. Exhale self. inhale the beauty of the Holy Spirit who refreshes your soul. Exhale stuff. Whatever's holding you back, exhale self. Okay, open your eyes. So what'd you think of that exercise? How many of you thought that was weird? Wow, that's amazing. How many of you thought that you enjoyed that exercise? Okay, why did you enjoy that exercise? John?
When I inhaled, I visualized the Holy Spirit as being like this white smoke that I'm inhaling through my nose. And when I'm exhaling, I imagined it being like a dark black smoke that's heavier.
Yeah.
And it goes down on the ground.
Yeah. Okay. Why'd you like that one? Loud. Speak louder.
My vision when I was meditating was it's more like a wind, like you said, coming across the room. Everybody was like smiling. Like awestruck.
Yeah. That's a great vision. Anybody else? Rashonda? Loud. Evaporated.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the way I envision it. You know, when I close my eyes and I, you know, I'm thinking of, and man, it's so refreshing to get that stuff out there and go, okay, that's gone. It's out there. It's kind of like confession we talked about a couple of weeks ago with Trevor DeVage. Man, it's out. And it dissipates in the wind of the Spirit. Yeah. Anybody else? You enjoyed that exercise. Yeah. Why?
I felt like I was being touched by the Holy Spirit. Like, I could actually feel that He was, like, trying to take control of me.
Yeah. Yeah. We're actually allowing, you know, stopping the resistance of the Holy Spirit, and we're getting rid of ourselves. Yeah. It's a refreshing. Okay. How many of you struggled with that? I mean, it's not that you didn't like it. You just kind of struggle with it, maybe focusing in on it. Yeah. Why is that?
I just kept thinking of different things.
Okay. Kept thinking of different things.
Focusing.
Okay. And then you came back to focus. Yeah, I'm the same way. Yep. Any other thoughts on that exercise? That's a part of meditation, focusing in on God. Okay. Any other thoughts or ideas on that? Yeah. Say it loud.
As far as meditation is concerned, something I like to do is like just go sit in nature.
Yeah.
And like just be quiet.
Yeah, the president of the college has asked for us to take what's called a Sabbath day. And a part of the Sabbath day is he gives us scriptures and stuff like that. And one Sabbath day, I just went over here to a park. And, you know, guys, if you know me, you also know besides ADD, I just stay incredibly busy, and sometimes I just don't slow down. And I was literally forced. I mean, the president said, "You will do this." And so, man, I listened to some Christian music and actually some, you know, this is kind of weird, but I actually was listening to Handel's Messiah. Hallelujah. You know, I'm listening to this incredible music with, Dread Beats, you know, earplugs, and I'm just like walking along, and I've got it so loud, and I'm walking so fast, and I started looking at leaves. And so I just said, man, why am I passing by the beauty of God? And so I stopped and just started looking at the intricacy of leaves. And that sounds weird, but man, I was just like, God, thanks for that. You know, I started looking at a brook, water that was going, and I was like, why am I going so fast that I miss that? Yeah, you're exactly right. That's a part of meditation. So So one way is breathing in, breathing out, focus. Go to the next one, Kevin. The third one is prayer at all times. Go ahead. Yeah. Communication at all times. In other words, Paul says in Thessalonians, pray without ceasing. So guys, if even when you're walking down the hall, if you're going, man, I'm going to pray for Haley. You know, if I see Haley and I go, God, be with her. See, that is taking on a mind that is always in prayer. And so it's walking along and saying, man, if I see John in the hall, then I'm praying for him. And so in other words, I'm meditating at all times. I'm praying without ceasing. It's a matter of waking up in the morning and really focusing in on God, and throughout the day, having that continuous conversation with God about all things. You know, if I see Zach, you know, I'm just like, in my class, I'm like, God, be with him. You know, if I see him playing soccer, God, move in his life. That's a constant prayer thing. We talked about prayer in here, and that's a way that we can walk along. Hey, if I see couples, God, be with them that they might be strong. You know, God, move in their life. Be with Celeste. God, work in her life. And so it's a constant, you know, as we're going down the halls. And guys, man, that is a focusing of our mind on those things of God. And look, if you're praying for somebody, you know, you're not going like, oh, God, be with Lizzie. I just hate that girl. You know, I mean, you know, you're not going to think stuff like that. Do you guys get that? You're not going to think about that. Guys, you know, if you're walking down the hall and you're saying, God, please be with Taryn, then you're not going to be walking down going, ooh, look at that girl, fine. You know, you're not going to do that stuff. You know, you're just not going to do that. You know, because your mind is going to be on God and God moving in her life. You guys understand that? Where's the main battlefield? Right here. The main battlefield that all of us in this room faces is right here. That's reality. That's reality. If I'm walking down the hall and I go, God, you know, I want to keep a spirit of prayer. I want to keep my focus on you. I want to meditate on you day and night. And I see Tatiana, I'm going, God, be with her. Be with her that she would be a strong tower for Christ. Then am I thinking about, man, I've got all these responsibilities. Am I thinking about that? No, I'm thinking about her. I'm thinking about God. You guys got that? In other words, my mind is off of myself and it's on other people. That's a meditation through prayer. The fourth is what I talked about, and we've got just a few minutes. Man, we just don't have time to really hit Lectio Divina. But we are, okay? Lectio Divina means divine reading. Here's what one of my favorite theologians, German theologian Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Go ahead, Kevin. We're going to look at this quote. I think it's there. It may be. Is there a quote there? What's the next slide? Is there another slide? Do what? It won't go over? Okay, I'll just say it. Listen to this quote by Dietrich Bonhoeffer. He says, "The word of Scripture should never stop sounding in your ears and working in you all day long, just like the words of someone you love. And just as you do not analyze the words of someone you love, but accept them as they are said to you, accept the word of Scripture and ponder it in your heart as Mary did." That's all. Don't ask, how shall I pass this on? Or, but what does it say to me? Then ponder this word long in your heart until it has gone right into you and taken possession of you. So, Lectio Divina, how does that work? There's a couple of different ways. And we'll try one way. Okay, once again, want you to get comfortable. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to read. I'm going to... When you're ready and you need to prepare your minds, I'm going to read a passage of Scripture. Okay? Who else is a good reader? Somebody else is a good reader? You're a good reader? Come on up here. Okay? Here's what we're going to do is we're going to read this a couple of times. I want you to listen carefully. When I'm reading this, I want you to close your eyes, do the breathing. Breathe in through your nose, out through your mouth. I want you to prepare yourself to really listen to this passage of Scripture. And what I want you to listen for, and you're going to do something with this, what I want you to listen for is a particular word or phrase that stands out to you, that God is really giving to you through this passage. You got it? Okay. We're going to read through it several times, but I want you to focus this first time on just a word or phrase that just sticks out to you, that God is revealing to you. Okay. So close your eyes. Breathe in through your nose, out through your mouth, just a few times. Prepare yourself to hear the word. You'll read the second time. Listen to the word. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. And when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." Think about the scripture. What words or phrases stuck out to you? Think about that for just a second as you meditate on the word that you've just heard. Okay, I'd like for you to open your eyes. Don't say anything. And just very quietly, you don't, no explanation needed. Just turn to a person next to you and whisper that one word or phrase that stood out to you. If there's no word or phrase, then don't say anything. If there was a word or phrase that stuck out to you, just turn and whisper that one word or phrase to the person next to you. You got it? Now, once again, close your eyes. Breathe in through your nose, out through your mouth. Prepare to listen to the Word of God. Once again, listen for a particular word or phrase. It may be the same one. It may be a different one. Listen to the word or phrase this next time. Prepare your minds. Get ready to hear the word of God. Listen to the word.
Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom and healing and every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field."
Spend just a few seconds thinking about what you've just heard. Breathe in through your nose, out through your mouth. Think about the word or words that you heard from the Scripture. Okay, once again, open your eyes very quietly. Turn to a person around you and just say that one word or phrase that God really spoke into your heart. It may be the same word, it may be a different word, but just whisper that word to the person next to you. Okay? Shh. Very quietly. If some of you would like to share your word, you know, just raise your hand and very quietly say to your word to the whole group. What word?
Compassion.
Compassion. How many of you heard the word compassion? Okay. Yeah. Okay, ask the Lord to send people in the harvest. How many of you heard that phrase? Okay. Anybody else? What one word or phrase? Yeah.
The word
fields. Fields. Okay. Good. Yeah. What? Helpers. Okay. Yeah. What? Harvest is plentiful.
Kingdom.
Pray to the Lord of the harvest. Yeah.
They were harassed.
Harassed. There are harassed. And maybe you're harassed and you heard that. Okay, here's what I'd like to do. Close your eyes. We're going to hear it again. This time, I want you to reflect on this question. What is it in my life that needs to hear this word today? Or where am I in this text? Let me ask the question. What is it in my life that needs to hear this word today? Or where am I in this text? Okay, breathe in through your mouth or nose. Breathe out through your mouth. Prepare to hear the word of God. Breathe in through your nose, out through your mouth. Prepare your mind. Focus on listening to the word. Ask God to reveal to you what is it in my life that needs to hear this word today? Or where am I in this text? Not compared to anybody else, where am I? The Word of God. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. And when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." Think about those words. Breathe in through your nose, out through your mouth. What is it in my life that needed to hear this word today? Okay, you can open your eyes. How many of you, and you don't have to say it out loud, how many of you received an answer to the question, what is it in my life that needed to hear this word today, or where am I in this text? Did you hear an answer? If you did, raise your hand. Okay. One final time. We're going to read through this, and this time, here's the question. Meditate on this question. Is there an invitation or a challenge for me to respond to? Is there a challenge or invitation from God for me to respond to in this text? I'm going to read through it one more time. Listen intently for words or phrases that present a challenge from God to you through His Word, not from any man, but from His Word. Okay? Prepare your minds. Breathe in through your nose, out through your mouth. Focus. You've heard it several times now, but focus on one more time. Is there a challenge for me today in this text? Is God speaking a challenge to me in my life through this text? One more time. Prepare your minds. Breathe in through your nose, out through your mouth. Listen to the word.
Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field."
Meditate on those words. Is there a challenge in that passage for you? Not from men, from God. Okay, you can open your eyes. How many of you heard or experienced a challenge from God through hearing that passage today? How many of you experienced it? Good, good. Guys, that's Lectio Divina. There's other ways to do that, and I'll tell you about that in a second. But what did you think about that exercise of meditation? Reading the scripture several times, meditating on the scripture, listening for words that pop out of that. How many of you enjoyed that exercise? Okay, why did you enjoy that exercise? Back there, why did you enjoy the exercise? Yeah. Okay, very good. Did you hear what he said? Say it one more time. Okay. In other words, man, you're really listening. If you focus in, how many of your minds, man, you were all over the place? Be honest, okay? Why was your minds all over the place? Why, Daniel? You don't know, okay? Okay? Did you bring yourself back to focus? How'd you do that, Morgan? Yeah. Look, guys, doesn't it make sense that Satan wants us to be distracted from God? He wants us to be distracted from the Word of God. Now, I mentioned that there is another way to do this, and I'll just briefly tell you about this. Another way to do this, guys, is to spend time meditating on the Word. Let me give you a couple of examples. An example of that, like in Luke 7, there's a sinful woman. Jesus went to Simon, he's a Pharisee, he went to his house, and this woman came in and she washes Jesus' feet with her tears and with expensive perfume. Simon the Pharisee, he's like, man, if he only knew who was washing his feet, he would have nothing to do with her. Basically, she's a high-dollar prostitute. And Jesus, knowing what Simon is thinking, he said, "Simon, do you think it's odd that I would wash your feet?" So in that story in Luke 7, man, what I was challenged to do is read through that three times. The first time I read through it, I read through it through the eyes of Simon the Pharisee. Smug, judgmental. The second time I read through it, I read through it through the eyes of the woman. Sinful, ashamed, afraid, love. Then the third time I read through it, I read through it through the eyes of Jesus. Read through it three times, meditating on it, through the eyes of that person. Another way, like the prodigal son. Many of you know the story of the prodigal son. The prodigal son goes out and he messes up, and he says, man, I had it better with my father than I do now. He really blew it, and so he comes running back. And he repents. His father is standing there waiting for him and runs to accept him. The older brother, a lot of us don't talk about the older brother. The older brother gets really ticked off. Hey, dad gave him his inheritance. He blew it. Now he comes back and dad's celebrating. I'm jealous. So I read through that three times. How did I read through it? Come on. First time, the son, the prodigal son. I was the prodigal son. Second time, the father. Yeah, the father, you know, reading it through the eyes of somebody who is lost and is now coming back, and the joy of seeing them come back. The third time, the brother. You guys get that? Man, you wonder, oh, what do I read? How do I read? Read it through their eyes. That is also a Lectio Divina. If we had time, man, we'd do that exercise. Okay? But we don't. Guys, meditation is a beautiful thing. Why? What does meditation do? Where's the battlefield? Right here. Meditation helps us to listen to the voice of God, not the world, not ourselves, not other people. It helps us. For these few minutes, guys, for these few minutes, maybe when you practice one of these meditation exercises, your minds were taken off of stuff of this world. And that's the whole point. Find some time, guys, to get with God and think about Him and meditate on Him. The battlefield is right here in the mind. Stop listening to the world. Stop listening to other people. Stop listening to yourself. Start listening to God. Okay, very quickly, it's right at noon. We've got to go eat. Three, four people tell me, what'd you get out of this session today? Raise your hand. Hey, the faster you do this, the faster we're out of here. Three or four people, what'd you get out? Terrence? Confirmation. Yes. How to relax. Absolutely. Meditation can relax us. That's what God. That's why God says in Psalm 46:11, be still and know that I'm God. Man, that relaxes you. What? Anybody else? What did you get out of this session? Yeah. A clearer mind. Yeah. Yeah, what God, and listen, God may convict you. How many of you, even in these few exercises, how many of you were convicted by God in some way, form, or fashion? Raise your hand. Yeah, He can convict you. When we approach the lion. Yeah, exactly. Okay, anybody else? What did you get out of this session? A couple more. What did you get out of this session? What? How to break down Scripture, absolutely, and enjoy reading it, jumping into it. Yeah, putting yourself in there. One more, guys, it's got to be good. One more, and then we're done. What'd you get out of this session? Yes?
The contrast between listening to ourselves and listening to the world.
Okay, very good one. See, that's a good one. We can end on that. Did you guys hear that? One more time, Ben.
The contrast between listening to ourselves and listening to the world.
Yeah. It's a huge contrast between listening to the world and focusing our minds on Christ. In Colossians 3, it says, set your minds. It's a determined effort. That's what the word set in the Greek means. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. Set your hearts on things above, not on earthly things. Meditate on those things. Hey, guys, spend some time in meditation. Jesus loves you more than anyone could possibly ever love you. So spend some time with Him. All right, thanks. Lunch.